Whether it makes any difference or not, you're cutting into someone else's time besides mine today, so if that matters. Didn't work anyway, so. All right, well, good to see you all here this morning. What are we doing over here? They try to buck you off? Oh, yeah, the ones with the wheels sometimes. Well, like I said, good to see you all here this morning. We have a special guest with us this morning, so we're a little fuller than normal because they came to hear her. They don't come to hear me, so that's okay. She's nicer to look at anyway, so. So we're glad to have Kelsey back with us. For a little while anyway, not for very long. So she's gonna be sharing with us God's word and what's been going on with her and what's gonna be going on with her. So let me pray for her. Father God, I just lift Kelsey up to you and just pray that you would use her as your vessel this morning, that she would just speak your words. I just thank you for the awesome opportunity that she's had to minister for you there in Paris and around Europe. And just exciting to hear her reports back on just what's been going on, people accepting the Lord, and just different people they've been able to minister to and talk with. So, Father, it'll be exciting to hear about what she's been doing and also what her plans are for the future, what you're directing her to do. So I just lift her up to you this morning. Use her as your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Is this good distance, Mike? Yes? Okay. Thank you for the feedback. And the PowerPoint is coming. Perfect. So as Pastor Kevin somewhat mentioned, I've been in Paris for the past year and 9 months, and today I get to just share a little bit about one of the main themes for me since I've left for Paris, which is building your life on the word of the Lord. And it really is a testimony of God's faithfulness in my life that I even went to Paris and that I experienced his goodness there and his leading there and his leading from there. I'm planning to do a school of biblical studies in South Africa in September. And so this is kind of a presentation of how you can experience the goodness of God in building your life on the word of the Lord as well. So it's not a ton about me, although it is a lot about me, but mostly it's about God, and I'm really praying that we all get to glorify him in our own lives as we each individually build our lives on his word. So, my grandma said I need to speak slowly. My grandpa said I need to share the gospel. We'll see how we go. And bear with me, I do like to speak very fast, and people, when I'm doing ministry, struggle with that in second language settings. So, yeah, it's a struggle, but the Lord is faithful. This morning, actually, I was reading in the Psalms, and I felt like his word for us today, or maybe just me, but it's for us, is come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. And so here we go. We're going to declare what God has done, and we're going to give him glory. So next slide, please. This is kind of the theme verse I have for this morning, Matthew 7:24-25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And I guess I just really want to impart a sense of confidence over us that when we build our lives on the word of the Lord, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing against us. And this photo is actually a testimony of God's faithfulness in my life. When I was in Australia doing a discipleship training school with the organization that I was in Paris with, I was praying for Paris, and this was long before I even thought I would go there. And we were praying for the pioneering of a new Youth with Mission base in Paris, and God gave me this image of a bird on a lamp. And I was like, well, okay, that's pretty cool. And I took note of it and I wrote it down. And then every Tuesday morning of this past year, we would go to Sacré-Cœur, which is a cathedral in Paris. It's beautiful. It's on a hilltop. It overlooks the city. And we were praying over the city, and I saw this, and I was like, oh my gosh, it was so cool. It was like a fulfillment of God's word to me. And so this is just a little taste of what is coming in the next half hour. So many words that God has spoken and fulfilled, and it just brings confidence when you're walking in the word of the Lord over your life. He proves himself, and it's really fun. It's really cool to know God on a personal level. So next slide, please. Kind of the basics and a good foundation. In order to build your life on the word of the Lord, you need to recognize the word of the Lord. And so hearing God's voice, I think, is one of the most key things that we can do as his people, is to recognize his voice, to discern his voice. And so I thought I would just go, just a quick little overview. One thing that's really important in recognizing the voice of the Lord is to believe that he is who he says he is. And one of my favorite scriptures is actually the first time that God described himself to Moses. It's Exodus 34, 6 through 7, and he mentions himself as being merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And I think we really need to actually agree with, we need to agree with who God says he is if we're actually going to believe that he's speaking things that we discern are his voice. If you don't think that he really loves you, you're not going to hear loving words from God. If you don't think that he's good, you're not going to trust that he will fulfill his promise to you. If you don't know that he's patient and long-suffering, then you're going to think he's going to smite you if you disobey one time. You know, you need to know who God is if you're going to believe his words to you. And then Psalm 103 is just a golden psalm. If you ever want to know who God is, I would check that one out. But also, we need to get in position to hear from the Lord. And that's something that I think Western society doesn't do super well unless we're intentional about it. So we can be intentional about it, and he's speaking. He wants to speak to us. And so for me, this looks like daily quiet times, spending time with the Lord, not being like religious about it, but really, oh, I have some time right now. I want to be with God. Or, okay, I'm going to set aside this time until it becomes not just a discipline, but something you delight in. We need to put ourselves in position to hear from God. And then trust that he will speak. He is a father. He wants to communicate with his kids. It does take practice, hearing from God, having confidence like, okay, this is God, or this is me, or this is, what is this voice? And with practice and with time, you really get to discern his voice well. One thing that encourages me is that the Rhema, or the spoken word of God, never contradicts the written word of God. And so the more that you get into the Bible, the more that you know the word, the more that you can discern God speaking in a present moment. And that's why I love the Bible so much. That's why I'm going to do a school of biblical studies. And then also, key for hearing God's voice is obedience. And if you are obeying God in the promises he's already spoken in the Bible, but also the things that he's spoken to you in the moment, you'll be able to hear more from him. Because I think it's really actually something to treasure is God's words to us. And if we don't honor him, if we don't love his words, I don't think he'll want to share his heart or his secrets, or just consulting us as his friends. So kind of basics of hearing God's voice. But for the main heart of the message, building life on the word of the Lord, I was praying, and I felt like there are two main implications of what this looks like as we walk it out in our lives. And the first one is that we have confidence. If your life is built on what God says, on where he's leading you, then you have confidence in where you're going. And so a sense of purpose really does follow. A sense of purpose really does come as you're living in step with God. And that was, the story of me in Paris. I didn't really want to go to Paris. I don't like cities. I don't really like living so far away from my family. I didn't know anyone there. But I knew I was called there. And so when I came with a sense of purpose. I came with a sense that God was going to move, and he was going to do something, and it was going to be good. And this happens in the big picture, like, okay, a big calling to a certain location. But also in the little things that we do each day, I think it gives a sense of validity to our actions. Like when we are going to go to the store and you pray about it, okay, which store should I go to, Lord? Like it's in the details of our lives. And maybe if you were going to go to Rosar's, but you felt like God spoke to go to Safeway, you're like, okay, maybe I'm going to meet someone at Safeway. And then all of a sudden there's an intentionality behind your actions. Your eyes are open, your spiritual eyes are open, and you're ready to be following God in that moment. And so building your life on the word of the Lord is more than just, okay, yeah, I'm going to do what's convenient. I want to make sure I'm, going to be covered by God's grace. But it's actually, okay, Lord, I know you're alive and you're active, and you're alive and you're active in me. let's live a life of purpose. And so, next slide. This really applies in big picture, like vision as corporate, as a corporate as well. So like for our base, we're really intentional to live out the vision God has spoken over us, not just the things that we see in our community that maybe would be helpful to address. And so we have kind of a base schedule that we follow, and we have confidence as we walk in it. So every Monday and Friday morning, we worship together. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we pray together. Every Wednesday, we go out and we do evangelism. And so I actually got to lead the homeless outreach that we did in our community. And so that's like the top right photo. That's us making encouragement notes, and we would pack sandwiches and then go out to the metro stations or just different areas where we knew maybe some homeless people in Paris would be. And so we would do that every Wednesday, and then we'd do like garbage cleanup, and we would do one-on-one evangelism, which is the bottom picture. And so as we lived each day, it was with a sense of purpose. It wasn't with a sense of, oh yeah, we're just following a schedule, but actually this is something we've prayed over. And so I guess I want to encourage you as Lake Spokane Community Church, are you following the vision God has given us? Are you aware of where God's heart is leaning? Is it, I don't know, I was looking at the little bulletin. I was like, oh, cool, a clothing closet is happening and men's breakfast is happening. Like, what is it that God is speaking over us as a body that we can actually find purpose in and not just do, but know that it's actually coming from the heart of God? And so there's great purpose to it. I think it raises our expectation. It raises our joy in the things that we do if we know that it's coming from the Lord. Next slide. Along the concept of confidence, you can do that. Next slide. There's confidence in our decision making, and this has brought so much freedom to my life since I've really recognized the importance of going to God in the details. My mom is laughing because she knows I struggle. I struggle with decisions unless I'm rooted in the Word of the Lord. And even as I was leaving Paris, my last day in Paris, I was at a gift shop, and I was like, should I buy a sweatshirt? Should I not? Like, I don't need a sweatshirt. But it'd be nice, like, to commemorate a couple years. I don't have any souvenirs from Paris because it's not really that wasn't really the emphasis of my time there. I was a missionary, not a tourist. And so I was like, okay, I don't know. I struggled for about 20 minutes. and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray about it. Like, why is that not the first thing that comes to my mind? So I prayed about it. I got a yes, and I was like, okay, cool. So I went and bought the sweatshirt. I have no regrets now. Washed it yesterday. It didn't shrink too much. Praise the Lord. So it really does. It gives you a sense of confidence in your decision making if you invite God into your life. If you invite His Word into the details of your life, then you can make decisions and not have to second guess, not have to question, not have to hold regret in your heart, not have to hold shame in your heart. Like, if you know that this is what the Lord has spoken, then you have all confidence in the world. He is the most wise, loving source of life in your life. And even that should give you confidence. Like, if you're consulting the Creator, the one who breathes wisdom, then what He speaks to you is not going to be a bad idea. What He speaks to you is not going to be something that might fail. What He speaks to you is truth, and it's good. And so, wow, like, to make your decisions with the Lord, what a privilege we have. That's the gospel right there, Grandpa. That's the gospel, is we get to do life with God because Jesus died, and He rose again, and He tore the veil, and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so, church, we need to live with the Holy Spirit inside of us. We need to actually be abiding with Him, inviting Him into our lives, and trusting His power and His goodness in what He speaks to us. And so when we make decisions with God, whoo, we live different. We live without second guessing. We live without the chains of the world on us. Like, this is freedom, and this is the gospel. And so, anyways, our decisions are most secure and they're best when we confide in the Lord first. Amen. And then next slide, please. Oh, yes. Okay, so outreach. My outreach team this year was awesome. There were 6 of us. It's the smallest team I've ever led, and it was the first time I was the head leader, so you kind of feel a little bit more pressure, but actually you feel more grace, and it was awesome. So we went to Spain, Portugal, Croatia, Montenegro, Serbia, and Bosnia and Herzegovina. Shout out to Admir. And we did the Camino de Santiago in Spain and Portugal, which is a very beautiful, long hike through Spain and Portugal. And there's several different routes you can take to reach this one cathedral in Santiago. And we took a couple different routes, but that's not really important. We got to do ministry like I've never had before. It was the most incredible outreach. 'Cause everyone who's doing this trail, you walk like 6 hours a day, and you go from hostel to hostel, and everyone who's doing this trail is searching for something. They're looking for purpose in life. They're looking for truth regarding if there's a higher being or if, which religion might be right. And so they want to talk. They want to hear your testimonies. They want to hear the gospel. They want to know the answers to the questions that they have in their hearts. And so it was just incredible. Like every day, okay, I'm going to walk next to you. And what's your life story? Okay, this is my life story. Like people just want to go deep and they go there quickly. And I mean, we had incredible encounters, people just weeping, people getting healed, people, just doing life with us. Like we had this one guy who followed us for, I think it was about a week. He was planning to go faster and he's like, no, there's something different about you guys. And he would just journey with us and we would make dinner every night. And because there was six of us, we were like an instant community. And so people would just come and they'd have dinner with us. And we were just really intentional to invite people into what God was doing. So it was an incredible, incredible few weeks. I love hiking. It was the grace of the Lord to just release me to do that. And my body held up. There's a couple girls on our team whose bodies didn't hold up as well. And so as the leader, here I am like, okay, decision making, Lord, I need you. And every day it was, oh my gosh, prayerful every single day. Different girls with blisters, different girls with hips that are not, like she couldn't even walk. Different girls throwing up in the middle of the night. And I'm like, okay, Lord, do we walk today? Do we send them forward on a bus? And if I were making these decisions on my own, I would be nervous of like parents phoning me, you know, but here I am. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I trust you. What do you say today? And it's actually really cool. This book is one of my most favorite possessions now. Every day on the Camino, I would just write down what God was speaking to me. And it's incredible to see his faithfulness. Like this morning, as I was prepping this, I just opened to a page and March 31st. And I was like, okay, cool. And it was just how God really led us. I read the proverb of the day. So Proverbs 31 talks about the virtuous wife and how she brings her food from afar. And it's funny because as you hike 6 hours, you really want food at the end of the day. And sometimes we would get to these villages and all the grocery stores, if they had grocery stores, would be closed. And so you kind of like you look at your team, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, but there's no food. But that never actually happened to us because God was faithful to lead us. And if I would have done it on my own strength, that would have happened to us. But having prayed every morning and with my co-leader, we'd be like, okay, do we need to carry food today? Do we buy food there? Do we trust that stores will be open? What do we do? And this morning I was praying and I was like, okay, yep, I feel like I'm supposed to bring food from afar. And sure enough, we got to the town that we were going to. There was no food, even though the little app that we checked beforehand said there would be. So it was just cool to see how God was really faithful to speak to us, to provide for us. And that was a night where two of my girls that night had been throwing up. And I was like, okay, like, should I make them walk? Should I not? And then prayed, got an image of them walking. I was like, okay, cool. We're all walking. And there's just so much confidence when you make these decisions, having prayed about it. And it's actually one thing that I really encouraged of my teammates as well, is they would come to me with questions, as people that you lead do. And sometimes they'd be very simple questions. Sometimes they'd be like just questions. And so I'd be like, did you pray about it? And it's kind of cliche and it's kind of a simple response, but it's actually so powerful. Like they would ask, I don't know, what should I do with my time right now? I'm like, did you pray about it? And they pray about it, and they're like, oh, I'm actually supposed to go evangelize to this person on bunk number 3. I'm like, amen. And they would go, and things would happen. And so it's actually one thing that I love to disciple people in is seeking the Lord in every detail, seeking the Lord with their time, with their resources, with their desires. And so this is actually one of my team members, Elisa. I got to baptize her on Easter in Portugal, and there was a big bridge overlooking this river, and so a ton of people saw us. And so then I got to just, like, yell up to the crowd, share the gospel. It was pretty cool. And then that's a man from Germany that we met on the Camino. He was really encouraged. We got to pray for him. His knees were hurting, prayed for healing over him. He went on his way, and just got to get like minister the Father heart of God to him as well. It was cool. But next slide. This is in the top photo is a market in Croatia, and we did a lot of evangelism there. Even met, followed up with a girl a couple times, and she's actually flying to Paris now to check out the Youth with a Mission base that I staff at. She's considering doing a school there, which would be incredible, because right now her life is very much caught up in alcohol and partying, and I'm just praying for her. And then we partnered a lot with long-term missionaries in Montenegro and Bosnia. Those nations are really pretty close to the gospel right now. There's only like 200 Christians in Montenegro. And so we did a lot of spiritual warfare there, more so than evangelism. We did a lot of worship and intercession, worked at a refugee home, and then just got kind of involved in the community. But next slide. Okay, yes. So another implication of having confidence in building your life on the word of the Lord is that it invites the grace of God in your life. And I can't tell you how much I love the grace of God and how much I pray that over you guys. And this is twofold. You can go to the next slide. So grace, I really do believe, is to sustain calling. So the things that God has called you to do, he will equip you with the power to do it. Grace is power in the Holy Spirit. Grace is the ability to obey. Like, God's not going to call you to do something he won't give you the strength to do. And we need to trust that. We need to really trust that. Like, if God is calling you to help serve in the clothing closet, then he's actually going to give you the strength to do it. And he's going to give you the time to do it. And he's going to give you the desire to do it as you recognize it's from him. And you can do the next slide, please. Thanks. And so this is me popping a blister of one of my teammates. He really will give you the grace to sustain what he's calling you to do. And it bonds you with other people. You need to actually depend on others. And it's really good to get rocked out of our little independent worlds a little bit. And then I love this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:10. I think it really does show that with grace is power. This is Paul speaking. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. He's working hard. You'd think he'd be tired. I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. And we can receive that too. We can receive the grace to sustain the things that God is calling us to. And then the second part of inviting grace in our lives is that we invite the favor of God over our lives, which is his kindness is extended towards us as we obey him. And I've really seen that as I've gotten to be in Europe, because God knows that I love adventure. He knows that I love cultures. He knows that I love traveling. But I went to Paris as an act of obedience, not as a pursuit of what I was wanting to do. And it's just so cool to see the opportunities I've had since going to Europe. So this is in Montenegro, actually. And I just love how God knows the desires of my heart. We went hiking with a college ministry in northern Montenegro. And it's just like just these epic experiences I just recognize as the love of God and the favor and his hand over my life as I've walked in the ways that he's called me to. And so I just want to encourage you. There is favor that God wants to bring into your life. He really does want to bless you and love you and show you his kindness. He wants you to know who he is, and he is a kind father. Okay, next slide. Okay, so just a little bit of review. When we build our life on the word of the Lord, we have confidence that we have purpose. Our actions actually have worth. There's justification of what we're doing. We know that, okay, I actually should be doing this. And that's a good feeling. And then we have confidence in our decision making. The wisest life out there is speaking direction over us. That's pretty confident. And then we have confidence that he will bring us the strength and the power that we need to do what he's calling us to do. And he's extending that grace, which is just favor over our lives. But the second main category of the implications of building your life on the word of the Lord is actually we get to glorify God. And that is so fun. That is the desire of my heart. That is my, I guess, chief aim in living, is that I would glorify God, is that I would point other people to him. I would show the love of God in the ways that I live, in the ways that I speak, in the ways that I just do life. And so a big key to glorifying God is actually abiding with him. And I think building your life on God's word actually really equips us to do this, because we can glorify God as we're living in response to him. And so it's kind of like when you are when you're making a decision and you say, actually, God led me this way, then you actually are in position to glorify him for the outcome. And so like Paris, all of Paris, I'm just like, glorify God. This is not my idea. This was not my desire. And yet, wow, God has moved so powerfully. And so I can turn to him confidently and glorify him because it was breathed from his heart. And so to glorify God in abiding with him, can you go to the next slide? I think is really biblical. So this is from John 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And yeah, amen. That is the truth. As we look to God, as we abide in him and his words, then he's leading us in a way that actually will be a fruitful life. He's leading us in a way that he will be glorified. And it does take the intentionality to be with him. It takes the intentionality to hear from him and to walk in obedience to what he's saying. Next slide. Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is This is another testimony of God's faithfulness to lead us on outreach. And so this was in Porto, Portugal. After we had just completed our hiking and we were doing ministry for a week in Porto. And like we do every day, we just prayed, okay, Lord, what would you have us do today? Where should we go on evangelism? And God led us to this library that J.K. Rowling worked at, and I'm a big Harry Potter fan. So I was like, okay, Lord, is this me? Is this you? I'm not sure. But we went, and I was standing in line, and I was like, man, this feels wrong. I feel selfish. What a terrible example to set for my pupils. I'm like, I'm just going where I want to go. And yet, it was just God's grace to show me, like, hey, I'm going to move through your passions and through your desires. There was a lady standing in front of me in line, and I was like, okay, well, God called me here. There must be someone I'm supposed to talk to. So I was like, I'll just start talking to people. So I was like, hi, what's your name? And she was a girl from Morocco living in Paris. And I was like, no way, I live in Paris. And so we got to talking. She was Muslim. And she just recently had a desire to interview people and hear their stories and hear what they're passionate about. And I was just cracking up inside. I was like, wait, you want to interview me? Not knowing, I'm a missionary. You want to interview me to ask what I'm passionate about? And I was like, yes, I would love to do that. And so it was awesome. So she recorded me. It was her first one. She was so excited. She recorded me, and pretty much I shared my testimony and shared the gospel. And she ended, and she was like, wow, you're pretty passionate. And I was like, amen. And she posted it on her Instagram. And so I was like, what the heck? Here I am, just, you know, going to a cool place in Portugal. And God knew, like, he knew that there would be multiplication of the sharing of my testimony and his gospel through a Muslim woman. And it was cool. I got to follow up with her in Paris after outreach, and she's actually moving to Spain now. But it was still is something that she's still thinking about, and I just pray she meets more Christians. It was a cool opportunity to see God's ability to move through my passions and his faithfulness to follow up on his word. But next slide. A big way as well that we glorify God by trusting him and by following what he's speaking to us is that we walk in humility. And next slide. Humility, I think, is somewhat synonymous with depending on God. It is super, super essential that we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit if we're actually to live a humble life. If we are to say, okay, God, I'm emptying myself of me, and I want to be filled with you, and I want other people to encounter you as they encounter me. And so we can't actually glorify God if we aren't humble. If we aren't humble, then we're looking for credit ourselves. We're looking for affirmation from people to see us. We're looking for justification of our actions, all these things. But when we're humble and we recognize, okay, God, actually, I don't want the credit. I don't want the applause. I don't want people to see me. I want them to see you. As we humble ourselves, then we actually are able to glorify God. And it's a key part of humility to hear from the Lord, or else we're just empty and we're going nowhere. But if we're actually, okay, here I am, I'm submitting to you, Holy Spirit, then he will lead us. And so it's really cool that humility actually leads us into hearing from the Lord. As we make ourselves less and we make God more, then we can hear from him, then we can obey him, and the glory goes to him because there's nothing else in play. There's no other factor that would be leading us. And I would just encourage us all to look at the life of Jesus to understand humility. The Philippians 2 passage is incredible. But I love this verse in John as well. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. And this is God saying this. And I'm like, okay, that's a really awesome blueprint for how we can turn everyone's attention to God in our lives. How we can seek to not fulfill our own desires, but really seek to fulfill God's desires through our lives. And yeah, I recommend the book Humility by Andrew Murray. Shout out to my great uncle Phil. He gave me access to it. He has an online resource. I can hook you up with that if you want it. But next slide. Okay, another awesome way that we can glorify God through hearing from him is that our worship becomes authentic as we have personal testimonies. And I can speak from personal experience. When you're singing a praise song about how you trust God will do something again, and you have a testimony of how he's done something in the past, then you can actually really believe that in your heart. You can believe it as you speak it out, and you can really glorify God in the fact that you're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And I mean, that's what the Bible says. Those who worship God worship in spirit and in truth. And so Oh, it's just fun. It's fun to know God. It's fun to have your eyes fixed on Jesus when you're worshiping. It's fun to actually see him and to know him and to posture yourself in a position of worshiping, whether you're singing or whether you're washing the dishes, whatever you're doing. If you're gazing at the Lord and you're seeing that he's showing up in your life, you're seeing that he is who he says he is, it becomes really authentic. And it's not just words. It's not just, oh, yes, I will be a good Christian. It's actually, God, I love you. Whoa, yeah, I see you in my life. I want to see you. I want to get filled by you. I trust that you are the one who won't let me run dry. You're the source that never runs out. And he's such a faithful source. And that comes by knowing him personally. Next slide. Yes, so we can really glorify God if we find joy in him. I think that's pretty simple and self-explanatory, but it's really profound as well. If you enjoy God and you find joy in your life with him, that's really attractive to people who don't know him. And that's actually really inviting to others to want to spend time with him. And as we get to know God more, we can't help but glorify him. I mean, he's just incredible. And so I'm all about it. I'm like, hey, if you don't know God, let me show you who God is, because I want him to receive glory. I want to multiply the glory he can get from my life as I encourage other people to glorify him as well. And I think that's the Great Commission. That's what we can all do. We can all invite other people to know God and to glorify him. And then the impact of our lives is multiplied. And it's just really cool. It's sustainable joy. It's not circumstantial. It's not based off of if your car is working or if it broke down. It's not based off of if your relationships are thriving or if you're struggling in your communication. When you are abiding with God, when you are hearing from the Lord and you're building your life in a way that's actually in response to what he's directing you to, you will have joy that lasts, and you'll have joy that's fixed on a solid foundation. Next slide. Just a little fair warning. I just feel like I should include this. So there are ways that we can actually drown out God's voice in our lives and not be able to walk in response to him. And Matthew 13 is actually a scripture that God spoke to me a lot on outreach, as I would go to different nations and just be like, okay, God, why are they not pressing into you? What is hindering them from having access to you? And it's just that the parable of the sower. And I was like, okay, we're tossing seeds. Father, what is the ground like that we're tossing these seeds into? What do we need to do to soften the ground in these areas? And so, I mean, it's a very simple passage, but I'm still grateful that Jesus explained what it means. So if you don't understand what the word says, what the Bible is saying, I encourage you to just posture yourself in a position of humility. Okay, Lord, would you teach me? If you're not getting to that place just on your own, okay, who can I talk to in a Bible study? Who can I come and approach with my questions, whether that's someone who maybe you trust is more mature in their faith or pastor or whatever. Don't get complacent in getting to know God more. Don't settle for not understanding, but really seek to get to know him. He wants to be known by you. And then is the seed going where the joy and the trust in his word would only be conditioned upon circumstances? Do you only trust God if you're seeing in that moment his goodness in your life? Do you only trust God if you are receiving abundance, or do you have conditions upon your trust? And I think that's a good question for us to ask. And I know we all know this, but do we really know this? Do we know that we can trust God even when we're not seeing the provision yet, even when we're not seeing the results that we want? And then another way that God's voice can be drowned in our life is if we are overcome by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And this is what I found most on outreach, actually. There's just so much distraction in the world, so much trying to steal our attention from God, so much busyness, so much care for wealth and fame and all these things that we all know, but it's actually real. And so what is it in your life that may be distracting you from God? Do you have any idols? Do you have any any things that you don't really trust into the hand of God that you want to clutch to your own cares, to your own priorities? And I would just say, make God your number one priority, and all these things will be added unto you. And then unbelief is something to be on guard against, and don't be ashamed of it. Just, I would actually say, one of the keys for overcoming unbelief is just speaking it out. Being like, hey, I'm struggling with belief right now. Can you pray for faith over me? And it's so much easier to do life in community with the church than it is to do it alone. So I would really encourage you, if you're struggling with unbelief, just receive prayer. Fears, being motivated by fear is really the opposite of being motivated by love. And so I would encourage you, if you have fear of obeying God, just be real with him. God, I'm afraid that if I do this, I'm going to be broke. God, I'm afraid that if I do this, they're going to hate me. Just be real with him. God, you're speaking something, and there is fear in my heart. Don't let the fear stop you from obeying God. I mean, I was experiencing fear when I went to Paris, for sure. But I knew God's character, and I knew that he wouldn't call me to do something that he wouldn't sustain. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to obey. It's scary, but I'm going to obey. And that's a big picture thing, but in the daily little things as well. Fears can come up, but I would encourage you, don't let that be the thing that rules your life. Negligence, so just being lazy and actually approaching God. Choosing to put other things before your time with the Lord. That can actually be really dangerous for our walks with him. It's like any relationship. If you don't spend time with God, you're not going to know him, and you're not going to be close to him. And that's a really dangerous place to be in regards to having joy, in regards to being filled, in regards to having the abundant life God has really made a way for us to have. Disobedience could drown the voice of the Lord. I kind of commented on that earlier. And then bitterness towards what makes you tired. This one my base leader actually brought to my attention a couple weeks ago, and I had to think about it. I was like, bitterness? Well, is there bitterness in my heart? And I think it's interesting. When we carry a seed of bitterness, it makes us not want to approach that thing again. So if you did Awana last year and you helped run the VBS and you were just dead tired at the end of it, that could actually form bitterness in your heart, and you don't want to do it again. You're like, okay, Lord, no, I'm not going to do that. And it can actually separate you from a position of actually receiving the grace of God and wanting to obey him in future times. And so I would just really check in your spirit if there's anything that God has called you to do that you've held bitterness in. It might prevent you from just getting direction in certain areas again later. Next slide. But the personal application. This is my favorite thing about Youth with a Mission, the organization I'm with. They really, really live out the truth that when you apply it to your own life, then transformation comes. And so I would just encourage you, be hungry for truth and be hungry to apply it in your own life. So there's big picture, there's small picture. Holy Spirit, speak. So what is God's call in your life? And are you being obedient to that? Are you trusting with confidence and with expectation that he has a call for you? Have you positioned yourself to hear from him? But even for the church, what is his vision for this church? Are we responding to that? Are we actually walking in a sense of purpose and direction based off of what God has spoken? Or is it our own ideas that are kind of taking the front? And then are you being obedient to it? And then also, we can always apply putting ourselves in position to hear from God. Reading our Bible, it's so cool. God has given us access to his throne. He's given us access to his heart. He's given us access to his ways. And to live with a biblical worldview is so different, and it's so empowering to know, okay, actually, yeah, it is good that I love my neighbor, because this is what God says. It is good that I'm generous with a grateful heart, because this is what God has said. And so it actually brings a lot of confidence to your actions if you know what God is speaking and you know how he's leading. And it's not a burden. It really is a joy. It's a joy to know God. And so I would just encourage you, if you're maybe tired in your walk with the Lord, go and do something that you love doing and invite God in. Light your favorite scented candle. I don't know. I love doing that. You want to be enjoying God when you're entering his presence. And so I would really encourage you to position yourself in a way that you will be experiencing joy, because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is from the heart of God. And so as we're experiencing joy, I really do think we're able to press into who God is. And then I think it's always good to just do a bit of reflection. Okay, why am I doing what I'm doing? Is there actually purpose behind it? Is this something God has spoken? Or am I walking in pride and independence? Because if we're doing things just because we think it's fun or it's a good idea, it might not be fun and it might not be a good idea. And so I would just encourage you, reflect on your life. You can look at your actions and trace that down to your beliefs. There's a cool teaching that I've had a couple times on. It's called the belief tree. And there's like the roots of the tree are your beliefs, and then it has like values, actions, all these things. And then the fruit are your actions. And so you can really look at the core of what you believe based off of how you're living your life. And so like I was super challenged with this on outreach, receiving the truth that God is an abundant God, because I look at my actions and I'm very good at saving up and never using what I have. And ultimately, God was exposing in my heart that I don't trust him to provide again. I don't trust him to be faithful as my father. And I don't actually see myself as worthy of being a consumer. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, okay. And I found out these beliefs by looking at my actions. And so I would encourage you, if you don't see where maybe you're life is not aligning with the truth of who God is and who he says you are, then ask someone around you, do you see anything in my life that actually doesn't align to who God is? Do you see anything in me that's different than Jesus? And if so, okay, cool, target that. Be really aggressive and eager, actually, to walk out sanctification. Like, we actually need to be hungry and passionate to not have anything in our lives that would be ungodly. And so for me, I was like, okay, so I need to walk knowing that God is an abundant God and walk in generosity. And so I've been challenged to spend money lately and to trust him for future provision. And he's been really faithful. So I would just encourage you to look at your life, look at your actions, see what you believe, see if your beliefs actually are not aligned with who God says he is and aren't aligned maybe with what he's speaking to you to do today. Also, I think sharing the gospel is something that we do with our lives, with our actions, can be with our voices as well. I would encourage you all to be just alive spiritually. Like, okay, I'm going to work today and God is with me. And okay, I'm going home and God is with me. And just put yourself in position to show people that your life is different, that you actually do have confidence, that you actually are walking free from shame, that you actually don't have big question marks as to what comes when you die. You don't have fears of the future because you know that God is with you in the future. There's so many implications of actually doing life with God and doing life built on his words to you. And that alone puts you in position to glorify him and to say, this is who God is. This is what Jesus has done. And I would encourage you to share your testimony, little testimonies. Like this morning, God speaking Psalm 66 to me. I was like, amen, that's exactly the verse I needed. But just knowing that God is active and he's alive and he's moving, that builds faith in people around you. That shows people, okay, yeah, I'm not alone in doing life with God. Oh yeah, in this world where most people think they can do life alone and we're actually fine, we don't really need a God. When we actually recognize, like, I am not okay without God. I'm empty, I'm without purpose, I am struggling without the direction and the words of the Lord in my life, as we actually speak that out, it builds faith and it encourages other people to glorify God as well. Yeah, next slide. So just a little bit of review. Implications of building your life on the word of the Lord. We actually do have great purpose in our lives. We have confidence in the decisions we're making. We're sustained by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. We're able to invite the favor of God in our lives. We're able to glorify God as we abide with him, as fruit comes from our lives, as we do the things that he's speaking, the things that are on his heart, as we walk in dependence upon him, not wanting to do anything of our own strength, not wanting to do anything that would point others towards ourselves, but actually everything for others to see the glory of God in our lives. It makes our worship authentic as we get to know him, as we expect him to move again, as we are able to receive daily bread, to receive new words for the day, to actually walk out with a living and an active relationship with God and not just reading stories of other people's experience of him. Like, I love reading about the parting of the Red Sea, and yet I'm not really satisfied with that. I'm like, oh, okay, I want to see a Red Sea part in my own life. And I think God really wants that. He wants people to know he's alive. And also, we will have joy, which, amen, we will. And this is the gospel. This is life with God. Life with God is that we have these implications, which we're on the other side, but that's okay. This is one of my, like, theme verses since reflecting on my time in Paris. This photo is also from Sacré-Cœur, where we would go and we would worship and pray over the city. But God really did call me to Paris, and it was in a time where I was coming out of a struggle with anorexia. It was in a time where I was not really sure who I was, where I was, what I was supposed to be doing. And I mean, God is so faithful. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. And yes and amen, God has delivered me. I will glorify him. And it's been by his work. It's been by his wisdom. And it's just incredible to see God move in your actual life. And I hope that encourages you guys to know his faithfulness in your life. Like, I hope you're not satisfied to see his faithfulness in my life, but man, get hungry for him. God is really wanting to prove himself to you. He really does. And then next slide. Ah, yeah, I guess that's pretty much the conclusion. So my base right now is still very much pursuing vision from the Lord, and we've got a big vision to come. So the Backpack Year of DTS, that was the school that I just staffed, the discipleship training school. And then Paris Je T'aime is a two-week summer conference that we host. And we had 207 people there this year, something like that. And we did ministry all throughout Paris. And It was incredible. God is moving in Paris. I hope to encourage you guys of that. And our base, next slide, is currently trusting for the purchase of the property that we're renting and the one next door. And it's kind of that next mountain of faith that we're taking on as a base. And it's really exciting because God is faithful. So we're trusting for 500,000 euros by the end of September, which is crazy. But it's so cool to see God moving. So I just want to encourage you, like, I'm done staffing in Paris. I'm done living there. But God is not done in Paris, and God is not done in Suncrest. He's not done anywhere in this world. He actually really loves each of us, and he actually really does want everyone to know him. So maybe just even pray about that. God, what is a faith mountain I can have in my life? What can I trust you for? How can I get uncomfortable? How can I see you move in my life? And so for me, that next step is going to South Africa. It'll be a 9-month Bible school. But God spoke very clearly for me to go there. I thought I was going to do it in Montana, close to home, on a lake, all these great things. I was like, oh, yeah, it's good to pursue studying the Bible. Doesn't matter where. And he really spoke South Africa. And I was like, okay, cool. And I'm actually really excited now. And so I would just encourage you, get hungry for the word of the Lord over your own life. Get hungry for his ways in your life. Get hungry for seeing him move. And it brings him so much glory as we actually delight in him. It brings him worth to show that we actually want to be with God. We trust God. We see his wisdom worked out in our lives. Next slide. So today after service, if you want, there is a totally free and casual fellowship gathering at my house. And we're going to have French cuisine and spirit of living in Paris. So there's like a cheese platter and crepes. Crepes, sweet or savory. The big hit on our base is the Nutella banana. I recommend it. So we got Nutella banana crepes. We got ham and cheese crepes. We got drinks and cornhole and all sorts of good stuff. But it's just an open house. So if you're able to come today, feel free to stop by. If not, I will not take it personally. Don't worry. But you're all welcome to come. And if you want to bring something, you can, but no need. I'm late. I was going to open it up for Q&A, but we don't have time. So thank you so much. You guys are a very attentive and encouraging audience. You're all smiling. Appreciate it. But God bless. And is it okay if I pray for us to close? Is it okay if I pray? Yeah, cool. Yeah, Father, I thank you so much for just who you are, the ways that you do speak to us, the ways that you do lead us in all wisdom and all truth, the ways that you are accessible to us. Lord, I thank you that it is your joy to do life with us. It is for the joy set before you that you endured the cross. And so, Lord, I pray that we would actually walk out the implications of this relationship you desire with us. We would actually walk free. We would walk in confidence. We would walk in a way that glorifies you and really shows you to be the number one prize in our life. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this community. I thank you for this body of people as your church. And I thank you for all the ones that we know and we can actually go out and invite into your church as well. And so, Lord, would you show us? Would you show us how we can apply this word of really building our lives on you, of really doing things in step with you, Holy Spirit, and not apart from you, how we can live in a way that points others to you and shows that we're not doing life alone. And so, Lord, I thank you that, yeah, that's the truth. We're not doing life alone, and you are with us, and you are leading us, and you are good. And so, Lord, I just really, I thank you for even my time the past 2 years walking with you in Europe, and I thank you for the ways that you've been present here as well as I've been abroad. God, I can just see your hand all over this church and in the lives of each individual member here. And so, Lord, I just really pray your blessing over them, that as they seek you, God, I pray that they would find you. We do claim that scripture, as we draw near to you, God, you will draw near to us. And Lord, I just pray a confidence over these ones to hear you, to recognize your voice, and to trust that you will be faithful to provide for whatever it is that you call us to do. And so, Lord, would you raise faith in us, God? Would you raise hope in us, Father, to trust you and to walk in your ways and to really invite other people to know your ways as well. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this day, and I pray your mercies over us as we go from here. Amen.
Thank you, Kelsey. So I'm assuming she'll be here for a little bit before she heads out the door. But if you have questions, you've been invited. So you can go to the house, and if you've got specific questions and stuff you want to ask her and talk to her about, feel free to do that. So thank you so much for sharing with us. And, as I was sitting there listening to her talk, one of the things that kept going through my mind was those of you that have gone through experiencing God, you know who you are. I just hear those words over and over and over. We're going to be looking at doing Experiencing God, which is a program, Henry Blackaby and his son. We're going to be doing that as a church. And I would like you to be praying right now about that. That we will be basically, I think, probably just doing it in small groups together. And the people that just went through it are pretty excited about what they saw. And it really is a lot of what Kelsey's talking about. Literally experiencing God in our lives. And I think too many times we've looked at it from the wrong perspective. You know, it's been like, well, this is what I want to do, and this is where I'm going, and we hope God comes along. When in reality, it's supposed to be, God, what are you doing? Where are you going? How can I come along with you? And that's exactly what Kelsey did. You know, she put that out there. God, what are you doing? I want to come along with you. This is what I would like to do, and these are what my plans are, but God, I want to do what you want to do because that will be the most effective. And so I ask you to just be praying about that as we look at doing that as a whole church and to just see, you know, where God might have you plug into that. So thanks again, Kelsey. And again, you can talk to her. You can go over to the house and talk to her. So God bless you all. Have a great day.